Our Bible reading tonight is to be taken from John and the chapter 8. John's Gospel, the chapter 8. And we will commence to read at the verse 31. John chapter 8. And we'll read at verse 31 and read on down a few verses here into this chapter. John chapter 8. The first 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father." Amen. We'll end our reading there at that verse 38. We look to the Lord just again in a wee word of prayer for help. As we come now to the word, to meditate on the word, we need that the Holy Spirit would have the word to be applied to those hearts that he has opened and prepared for the word. We need help as we preach. We need help as we hear. Our God and our Father, we come again in prayer. We would throw ourselves upon thee now. We thank thee, Lord, we've been singing of the gospel, and we've been singing of the cross work of Christ, and we've been singing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we praise thee, Lord, for the glorious gospel message. Now we come to thy word. Thy word has been opened. It has been read. And, O Lord, we pray now for help as we would want to expound thy word. We pray that the very stamp of the blessing of God, the power of God, the very purpose of God might be upon this meeting. Oh, that sinners would be saved and the people of God would be edified. Lord, we look to thee for this. Help the preacher. Thou knowest the need of the preacher. Help now, Lord, we pray thee. Give to me that fresh anointing. Lead me in the way that thou would have me to go. Give me words from thyself to express, Lord, thy purpose. We pray tonight that thou would make the preaching to be clear and plain. Lord, help us in all of this, we pray. Answer prayer for thy glory's sake. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The subject of these verses that we have been reading together, indeed, the subject that we have before us tonight, is that subject of freedom. Freedom, what a glorious, wonderful subject it is, that a man, a woman, a young person should know the blessing of real freedom. And yet alongside that, we have to say what a terrible situation it is for any man or woman or young person to be found in the shackles of slavery. There is this Remembrance Day is set aside, a special day, when we remember the sacrifices that were made and the price that was paid by men and women who fought for us and who stood between us and the enemy, and they fought to maintain that freedom for us that we enjoy and the privileges that flow to us from that freedom. We rejoice in that. We appreciate all that has been done for us by others on that account. And alongside that, of course, the world also has much to thank good and godly men for, those men who used their time and their energy and their intellect under God to bring about an end of slavery, as it was known in days and years gone by. Men like William Wilberforce, a champion for many good and noble causes, and one who worked especially for the abolition of the slave trade. And it is notable that in the year that he died, back in 1833, that in that year, that which he had worked for was achieved, and all of the slaves were made to be free men. However, it is possible for men to have civil liberties and to enjoy political freedom, and yet for those same people to be captives, for those very same people to be slaves. We will have noted in the verse 32, as we read it there, that Jesus was speaking to these Jews about being free from the bondage of slavery. In that verse 32 that we read together, he said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him. Here is their response. They were annoyed at what he said. And they said, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, he shall be made free?" The sinner people is in his natural state of sin, a slave. And I want to consider tonight, as the Lord would help me, I would want to consider this subject tonight of freedom, as we have it here in these verses and other related portions of God's word. We can consider a few things from these verses. We will notice here, especially from the first 36, and we will use this as our text tonight. But you will notice the position of the sinner. And this is where we have to start. Do you see, the sinner is a slave. He is in bondage. He is in fetters. In the first 34 there we read, the Lord Jesus Christ responding, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." That is, whosoever committeth habitual sin is the servant or the slave of sin. The practice of sin is in man's fallen nature. In Romans, the chapter 6, that great chapter which deals with the sinner being a slave to sin, we read there in the first 20, concerning the bondage of the sinner to sin, we find the inspired apostle there. He's talking to those that are saved now, and he's reminding the saved of what they were and what we were before we were saved. And he says to them, "Ye were servants of sin." That is, before they were saved, before we were saved, we were the servants, we were the slaves of sin. The dictionary definition of a slave is a very simple one. It is saying that a slave is a person who is controlled by someone or someone else, or a person who is the property of another and is forced to obey them. That's the terminology that we have before us here. Now, the sinner is a slave, and the sinner belongs to someone else in the sense that he is in the family of the devil. Do you see, we're told today by so many that we're all, every man and woman, young person, all mankind, we're all the children of God. Well, that's not the case. Because we read here, in these verses, if you go down to the first 44, the Lord says to these people, "Ye are of your father the devil." And so there are two families. You're either in the family of the Lord by grace, or else you're in the family of the devil because you're still in your sin. It says here, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of the father ye will do." The lusts of your father, or the lusts of the devil, ye will do. Here, is the substance of this. The sinner is a slave to sin and to Satan, and the sinner is compelled and will do the bidding of the devil. Maybe tonight you are saying, well, I am my own person, and I choose to do what I want to do, and I have freedom of choice. Well, people, man chooses according to the inclination of his mind, to the inclination of his will. And the inclination of the sinner's mind is against God and towards sin. And therefore, man, in his sinful condition, chooses sin. That is the fact that we have before us tonight regarding the sinner and him being in slavery to the devil. He is the servant of sin as we have it here. Not only the New Testament, the Old Testament bears the same truth. Over in Proverbs in the chapter 5, the verse 32, we're reading there of the sinner, and God says he is holden by, or he is holden with, the cords of sin. Literally, that word holden, it is the same Hebrew word that is elsewhere translated retained. He is retained by the cords of sin. That is, he cannot get away. He is captured. He cannot, of his own self, get away. He is retained in that particular position. And it's using the word cords here. He is holding with the cords of his sin. And that word cords, it is the very same Hebrew word that is translated rope, or again translated snare. He is held secure. There is no escape. He is snared. He is held fast by ropes that he cannot break himself. The picture is well set before us over in the Psalm 124 and the first 7 there. And we're reading there of the sinner, and he's likened to the bird in a snare of the fowler. He is a bird that has been captured, and he's held there in the snare of the fowler. He's captured. And so the sinner, you dear soul tonight in the meeting, or a dear soul unsaved that's looking on through Facebook or whatever technology it is, my friend, you are held captive by the devil, and you serve him at his bidding. I want to emphasize it. The scripture emphasizes it throughout. Over in 2 Timothy 2, the verse 26, there we read of those who are taken, they're in the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. In the snare of the devil, taken captive by the devil at his will. This is the position of the sinner. Paul deals with it in Ephesians chapter 2 and the first 2, when he talks about those who are walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, walking according to the purpose of the devil for them, doing the devil's bidding, in bondage to the devil to do his will. That's the position of the sinner tonight in a sinful state. But here's a serious consideration. He's not only a sinner, not only a slave to sin, but as such, my friend, he's under the condemnation of God because of his sin. According to John, the 3rd chapter, verse 18, he is condemned already. God has pronounced condemnation upon him because of his sin. That's the situation. And that's the position of the unsaved man tonight. My friend, consider this. Oh, consider the outcome, the result, the wages of your sin. The wages of your sin is death. Not only, my friend, does sin, and has sin brought physical death, but it also brings spiritual death, in that we have no life towards God. And it brings eternal death, eternal damnation. It results in eternal punishment in hell for all of eternity. That, my friend, is the result and the wages and the end of death. And so here is the position of the unsaved person. Without the grace of God, without God's salvation tonight, here is your situation tonight. You're in bondage to the devil, to do the devil's will. And my friend, because of that, you're under the condemnation of God because of your sin. But we turn again to our text tonight, and you can see in it the possibility for the sinner. You can see in that verse there that we read together, the verse 36, it says, "Ye shall be free indeed. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Here's the great possibility for you, dear unsaved. And as you sit in the meeting tonight without the Saviour, still in your sin, under condemnation of God, or sit in your home or wherever, my friend, here's the great possibility that is held before you in the glorious gospel. You can be made free. Again, we make reference to that chapter 6 of Romans. And in the verse 18 there, he's speaking to those who once were held captive in their sin, but they're saved. And he says, talks of them now as being then made free from sin. Once held in bondage by the devil, held by the chains of sin, but they are now made free from sin. This is the whole thought of that term that we're so familiar with, the term redeemed or redemption. This word redeemed, it really means to be made free, to be made free, to have liberty. Literally, it is to be made free by means of the payment of a price. What a wonderful possibility. A slave set free. Imagine how the news would have been received by the slaves in Africa or America or wherever when they were told, "You can have your freedom," and the chains are taken off and they have liberty. There's good news. People, there's great news for them. It's the very best news that they could ever hear. And people, here is the very best news that a sinner could ever hear. It is that he can be made free. He can be taken out of the clutches of the devil, and the chains of sin can be broken. Here we have the glad tidings of the gospel. Those chains that are binding you to the devil, those chains, whatever they might be, whether drunkenness or gambling or lying or immorality or unbelief, whatever it might be, my friend. Maybe you've tried to break those chains yourself. You've done everything that you can to get rid of these shackles that hold you. The alcohol has been holding you, or whatever it is. And you've tried your very best to break those chains and to be released from the captivity that they bring. My friend, here's the news. Although you have failed yourself utterly, haven't been able to break free, here's the news of the gospel. You can be made free. This freedom comes from the Son of God, from the Lord Jesus Christ. We read there, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Galatians 5 and the first one tells us the very same thing. It reads there of the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. The liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Christ is a great liberator. He is the great emancipator. No matter what the chains are that hold you, and no matter how tightly those chains hold you, Christ can set you free. We read of that freedom again over in Ephesians 1, where it's speaking about redemption. Remember this term, to be redeemed. It's to be free. And there we read we have redemption through his blood. Redemption, my friend, it is that freedom that has been purchased by the payment of a price. Christ purchased redemption for poor sinners like us, and he purchased it by means of his own precious blood. It takes us to his cross work. It takes us to Calvary, where he purchased redemption for sinners by paying the price of our sin, by paying the penalty of our sin. And there, as the divinely appointed sinless substitute, he took our place and he died for us. He suffered, he agonized, he bled, and he died. And in doing so, he satisfied divine justice on behalf of all who would repent of their sin and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. We were singing that hymn earlier on, "Would you be free from your burden of sin?" Is there a soul here tonight and you're burdened down with sin? You feel the very fetters, the shackles of your sin. It burdens you down. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. How dearly did he purchase this liberty for us? This liberty that he freely offers to sinners. He was brought to Pilate's hall, bound and whipped and scourged like a common criminal and murderer. He was dragged through the crowded street. He was nailed to the cross, there crucified. What a price he paid to free you and me from the penalty of our sin, to free us from the clutches of the devil, to deliver us out of the devil's family, to bring us into the family of God. My friend, this he purchased, but at terrible price. He agonized. We think of the cross. We see in our mind's eye tonight the Savior. Oh yes, we can go to Pilate's judgment hall. We can see him scourged and whipped with what we would call the cat of nine tails, that whip that had nine strings coming from it, and in the strings there would be platted there pieces of either sharp stone or iron, and the man with the whip would lift it, and he would lay it with expertise upon the bare back of the Savior, and as it hit his back, he was able to draw it down his back and to plow his back into furrows. Savior bore it for you and me. We can imagine, my friend, the blood running down the furrows. And they took him and they made up a crown, a mock crown. And they entwined the longest eastern thorns they could find. And they plaited that crown and they pressed it down upon his head until the blood flowed down his face. Those thorns piercing his brow. And they took him to the cross. And they nailed him to the cross. Nails going through his hands, through his heels. And they nailed him there to that wooden stake. And they lifted it up. And they dropped it out into the socket that was prepared for it. And we can see the wounds of the nails being opened up. in his hands and his feet as the weight of his body reacts to the cross being dropped into the socket, and his flesh is torn. The pain and the agony of the Saviour of the cross. My dear friend, the Lord suffered thus. He suffered what we should have suffered. He suffered the worst that men could do to him, and in the midst of it all, he suffered the loss of the sense of the presence of his Father, the Father in whom he delighted, and the Father delighting in him. And yet, because he bore our sin, the vileness of our sin, in his own body on the tree, he lost the sense of the presence of his Father, God the Father. My friend, this is how much he loves us. And this is the price he paid in order that we should be set free from the clutches of the devil, in order that the justice of God would be appeased, would be satisfied. The justice of God said that sin must be punished, that the wages of sin is death. And so Jesus died as a substitute for sinners like you and me. What love is this? How dearly he purchased our liberty. My friend, he offers all of this then to the poor sinner tonight. And he offers it free. He offers it to you, dear unsaved. It is free. It is by grace. It is received by faith. It is not of works. We sing that hymn, "He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood feels for me." My friend, Jesus can break the power of sin in your life. And he can set the prisoner free. In that Psalm 124 that we made reference to earlier on, we see that he breaks the snare and the bird is set free. That's the picture of Christ's power. The Psalm 124, the verse 7, we read, "Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers." The snare is broken and we are escaped. The Lord breaks the snare. He breaks the cords that bind us and he sets us free. All of this he does on the basis of his redeeming, atoning work. The book of Zechariah, the chapter 7, the verse 11, we read, "By the blood of the covenant I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water." Thy prisoners, that's what the sinner is. That's what the sinner is in a sin. He's in a pit. There's no escape. He's in a pit with no water. There's no satisfaction. But oh, the Lord, because of what he's done on Calvary in satisfying the justice of God, he can turn the wrath of God away from us. And he can set us who were by nature the prisoners, and he can set us free. Dear unsaved, this can be yours tonight. This liberty. But then let me just say also that we have in our text here the perfection of that liberty, because we read, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Free indeed. And that Greek word that is used there for indeed is the very same word that means certainly or of a truth. Ye can be free of a truth, truly free. Certainly free. Here is real, true freedom. Freedom from the guilt of sin. Dear unsaved, you know that you have offended God, you have grieved God, you have disobeyed God. You know that you are guilty. You stand guilty before God. You can feel that. You sense that. You know that. But when God saves a man, when God pardons that man and gives to that man that peace within his heart, the guilt is removed. He's no longer guilty before God, because Christ has paid the price. His guilt is removed on the basis of what the Lord has done for him on Calvary, and there's freedom from the fear of punishment of sin. For all of those who put their trust in Christ, people, the price is paid. The punishment has been borne by another, by a substitute. The Lord Jesus Christ is that substitute. He has already endured the punishment. And thus we say again, God's justice is satisfied. Christ was punished in our place, and therefore we need not fear punishment now. Top Lady wrote that great hymn. The hymn, it starts off with those words, "From whence this fear and unbelief? Has not the Father put to grief his spotless Son for me?" And then it continues on and it says, "If Christ my discharge has procured, and freely in my place endured the whole of wrath divine, God will not payment twice demand, first at my dying Saviour's hand, and then again at mine." Christ has already paid the price. This freedom, of course, is freedom from the power of sin. The child of God, the redeemed, has the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Master. And the Holy Spirit, who was active in regenerating power and bringing the sinner to the Christ of God for salvation, the Holy Spirit is also active in sanctifying power and making the sinner to be more and more like the Lord. The Shorter Catechism puts it like this, Catechism 35. It asks, what is sanctification? And sanctification is a work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God. And here it is. And are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Here is the evidence. Here is the working of the Spirit of God within the heart of the redeemed, making us to be more and more like Christ, my friend, enabling us to be more and more living unto righteousness and dying unto sin. This is our overcoming. Oh, yes, we will not be entirely free from sin in this life. We will not be free from sin and perfectly free from sin in this life. But Paul tells us in Romans 6, the verse 14, he says, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." The working of the Spirit of God within, by the grace of God, enables us to live in the victory that Christ has purchased for us. But then there's also freedom from the fear of death. People, the sting of death is sin, we're told in the Bible. But Christ has dealt with sin, and now for us believers, there is no sting for the child of God who passes into the presence of the Lord. Oh, death, the death of a loved one is felt on this side in this world. Those that are left behind know the heartache and the heartbreak and the tears. But for the child of God who passes into glory in Christ, I tell you this, the sting has gone. What is there to fear in death? To go into the near presence of the Lord who loves us and who gave himself for us, to enjoy the fullness of the presence of the Lord and the pleasures that are ours forevermore in glory in his presence, as we read of in the Psalm 16, the verse 11. What is there to fear in that? To be rid of the pain and affliction and the sorrows that we have known in this life. To be joined with those who have loved the Lord and have gone on into glory, have been parted from us at death, and there we will be reunited with them and never to part again. What is to fear in that? My friend, to walk the golden streets of heaven and to bask in the light of God's glory, I say, what is to fear? Fear of death is removed for the child of God going into the glory land. And then I tell you this, there's freedom from the very presence of sin. Made perfect in holiness. Hebrews 12 and 23. We read of the glory land. We read of heaven. It is where the spirits of just men are made perfect. Justified men, those who have been justified by the grace of God on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for them. Justified. Oh, in this life, many a battle they had with sin. But when we stand before the Lord, enter into glory, into the very presence of the Lord, into that home, that mansion that he's prepared for us there, then we will be made perfect. There's no sin in heaven. We will be absolutely perfect in Christ. People, all of this is in Christ. Dear child of God, rejoice in him. Rejoice in all that he gives. And dear unsaved tonight, oh, that you might call upon the Lord to save you, to redeem you, to free you from the burden, the shackles of sin, and give to you perfect freedom, that life that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord be pleased to apply his word to our hearts even here tonight. We'll have prayer. The congregation will stand for prayer. Would you continue standing? Just remain standing while the colours are retrieved. So we'll close in prayer. We'll stand and commit ourselves afresh unto the Lord. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for the glorious gospel. We're glad tonight that sinners can be saved and the shackles of sin can be broken, and we can be taken out of the clutches of the devil and out of the devil's family, and given perfect freedom, and brought into the family of God, made ready for heaven, all found in what Christ has done for us. Lord, save the poor sinner tonight. Give him, Lord, that grace to throw himself in the mercy of God. Enable him, Lord, to put his faith and trust in thee. Now, Lord, we pray tonight that sinners will be saved, the people of God edified, and that backsliders restored. Bless thy word to our heart, we pray thee. Undertake for us now, for we ask it all in the Saviour's precious name. Amen.